has been overridden by the Republican-led state legislature. And former President Trump's civil defamation lawsuit, the trial, is set to resume today in New York. A juror's illness had halted the proceedings on Monday. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we jump back in our prophecy update today, let me tuck in a little footnote to our plea for this broadcast, and that is that we need your help. We need you to help underwrite this broadcast. It's not a freebie. We pay for the airtime. Our contract is running out. The renewal of the contract will go from $4,000 a month, that's $48,000 a year, to almost $6,000 a month, that's $72,000 a year. We're asking you, if this broadcast is meaningful to you, if you want to see it remain on the air, and I'm always reticent of making a statement like that. It's not a matter of trying to say you've got to do something, but if this is broadcast is a blessing to you, a benefit to you, if you look forward to it, if you join in the dialogue and discussion, we're asking you to go online, fcbcatjax.com, find the donate button, and start a monthly contribution donation to support, to underwrite the cost, the overhead for the airtime to continue this broadcast. We've already heard from some. One said just recently in a conversation with them by telephone that they've already gone online and they've doubled their monthly contribution. We need more and more of you to do that very thing, to make the determination that that's what God would have you to do. Now listen, I'm not asking you to take one dime out of your tithes and offerings. If you're in a local New Testament church, give your tithes and offerings there. This is not the place for it. But over and above your tithes and offerings, if you are supporting ministries like this, we ask you to support this ministry. We ask you to support Let's Face the Issues broadcast so that we can continue with the rate increase of about 50%. Not blaming the radio station or the management team. It's something they feel they must do. If that's the case, okay. But we need your assistance holding our hands up that we might continue this day-to-day broadcast, Let's Face the Issues. That website is fcbcatjax.com. Find the donate button. Start today with your contributions to Let's Face the Issues that we might continue this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a prophecy update. And that telephone number, if you want to join in the dialogue and discussion, if you want to jump into what is being said, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'd love to have your participation in the dialogue and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, the sign of the wars and rumors of wars. We can look at what's happening around the globe. But today, I want us to focus on and think about what is taking place in the Middle East. While both the Biden administration today continues to appease Iran, pump billions of dollars into the hands of Iran, we see Iran via the proxies like Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, all carrying out the damaging strikes against Israel and America. The ships are now being put in grave danger as they attempt to pass through the Straits of Hormuz and the Red Sea. Let me encourage you to recognize the signs. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go with the question or comment, please.
My time is really limited. May I just take over the broadcast and interview you for just a moment?
That's good. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg Youngblood, one of our four sons, and I don't know where he is, but he resides in the southern tip of heaven, where they've had a lot of cold weather and snow recently.
It's beautiful, but raining right now. And yes, we've just cleared the snow from the ground, and I'm sure more is on the way. But that's part of living in the southern tip of heaven, folks. my interview question for you today would be, or two, and then I'm going to hit and run and go. But if you put in order, and I know you've told the audience this before, but for their sake, put in order these events for me. The second advent, the second coming of Jesus, the millennial reign, the Great Tribulation, the Tribulation, the Battle of Gog and Magog, and the Rapture. Put those, just go boom, 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 boom. How do they fall out based on your view of the Scripture, end to end, everything from Daniel to Revelation, and everything in between?
Yeah, that's a good question. We could spend about the next hour and a half talking about that, but Greg, very quickly.
That's right.
The rapture of the church is the next thing on the calendar of God. There are no signs. There are no benchmarks. There's nothing that needs, there's zip, zero, nothing that is yet to be fulfilled before there's the up, up, and away, the sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ. Time the bride of Christ is snatched out of this old world, the Antichrist steps on the scene and rules and reigns with an iron fist. By the way, while the 7 years of tribulation are taking place at the hand of the Antichrist, the bride of Christ, the church that's raptured out, we as Christians will stand before the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. We'll be judged for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or bad, the Scripture says. So while the judgment is taking place in heaven with those that have said yes to Jesus Christ, it's not based on whether we're in heaven or not. The judgment is based on what we've done for Christ after salvation. During that 7 years of tribulation, it's divided into two parts, 3.5 years called the tribulation, 3.5 years called the great tribulation. During the days of the tribulation, according to Revelation chapters 6 through chapter 18, there'll be the 21 judgments, there'll be the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls of wrath being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, Bible-hating, God-denying society. At the conclusion of the 7 years of the tribulation, Jesus Christ will return in great victory. He will be seen, the Scripture says, as the lightning is seen from the east and the west, so also shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27, 28, 29. So every eye shall see him when Jesus Christ returns. And Jesus Christ and his return, the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye, will recognize, according to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7 and following, will recognize Yeshua Messiah, whom they have slain. They'll repent and be brought into the kingdom of God. Now listen, Greg, in Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, the Scripture says, "And all of Israel shall be saved." That all of Israel will be just that minuscule remnant, because by the time that takes place at the latter portion of the days of the tribulation, the majority of the humanity on the face of the earth, about three quarters, will have been destroyed at the hand of the Antichrist. When Jesus Christ returns, he will slay those that have been against God, against Christ, against the Word, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21. He will slay them with the sword of his mouth. And that will be the Antichrist and the false prophet. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, Satan himself will be cast into that place called hell. Jesus Christ wins in the end. And as Christians, we need to recognize what is before us and all of these things that are taking place during the time of the lead up to the days of the appearing of the Antichrist. We will find what is called the war with Russia. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Very, very clear that Russia is going to lead a five-nation coalition to come against the nation of Israel. That five-nation coalition will be Iran, Syria, Turkey, Germany, Libya. And those are the places in the Middle East, Greg, that we're seeing now coming on board, joining in and standing with the nation of Iran, as Iran is one of the key nations that will follow Russia coming against Israel. Now, I think that that's about a five-minute summary of it.
I think that is fantastic. Now, I have a follow-up. Now, the millennial reign comes on the tail end of all that. For 1,000 years, Jesus rules and reigns. But
yes,
in that battle of Gog and Magog, you just mentioned the players. Are the players fully engaged today, and what would it take to turn their ire against Israel, and how is Ethiopia defined in your book as being one of the players in that battle?
Greg, it's an interesting question. What we see taking place in Ukraine today by Russia, Russia invaded Ukraine, that Ukrainian war, as a result of Ukraine and its cut off of the wheat, they produce about 25% of the world's wheat. We're watching famine starting already to take place in some parts of the continent of Africa. And we see Russia, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, being referred to Gog and Magog. That's the nation and the king, the leader, that's going to lead Iran and Syria and Turkey, Germany and Libya. And that what is called Libya is not the Libya necessarily as we know it today, but some refer to that. And you go to Daniel, the 11th chapter, and begin with about verse 36 through about verse 42, and find the statement there in relationship to the Antichrist and the rumblings out of the East. China will take a part in that with the 200 million man army in reference to that in Revelation chapter 9. That 200 million man army, China is the only one that has that 200 million man army. But right today, as we speak, Turkey is siding with Iran. Today, Iran is following the dictates of Russia. Russia is primed, loaded, locked, ready, angry, aggressive, and ready to go into battle against the nation of Israel. It's amazing when you see a nation the size of Russia thinking about coming against Israel. So, Greg, one of the key questions that I always like to talk about is the fact this is not happening by happenstance. It doesn't take place by osmosis. There's an ultimate motivation behind these nations coming against Israel. It is the fact that it is a satanic, demonic delusion that causes it to happen. And according to Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 and following, there'll come a day that there will be that grand finale of the battles of all battles called the Battle of Armageddon. And the text says in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 and following, that it's the demonic delusion that brings all of the kings of all of the nations of all of the world against Israel. And when they come against Israel, they think that somehow, some way, they're coming against, and I've used the term, perhaps they'll feel that we're going for an international conference on peace. Perhaps we're going to Israel to talk about setting up a peace treaty, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever it is, we don't know, but the scripture says it will be a demonic delusion. And when they cross the Euphrates River, they will come against the nation of Israel, and Russia will lead that coalition. I call it the battle, invasion. In fact, I wrote a book, 2012, 2014, the coming global Islamic invasion. And I believe that's what we see in Ezekiel 38 and 39, because each of these five nations that come against Israel, joining hands with Russia, each of them are controlled by the Islamic jihadist. It is the Islamic jihadist that today, based on Islamic theory, they like to call it Islamic theology. It's not theology. Theos is the God, and ology is the study of. It's not the study of God, but under Islamic tradition, there's the hidden imam, the 12th imam, that cannot return to deliver Islam into the hands of paradise until the whole world is in the conflagration of war. So it's the Islamic delusion by Satan himself that is wanting them to stir up the whole world for there to be that coming Islamic invasion. And it's at that invasion that they feel that the 12th Imam will return. What they do not realize is That 12th Imam is not an Imam. That one that will return is the Antichrist, which according to Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 and following, is an Islamic sodomite that will come to on the scene and will rule the world with an iron fist. Now, some might disagree with that, Greg, but when you study the scripture in Revelation and Daniel chapter 11, you find that that's what it is. He is an Islamic sodomite that will come against the nation of Israel first and initially, and then it will proliferate to a global conflagration that will ultimately be the Battle of Armageddon. Does that give a pretty good overview?
I think most folks need to just go ahead and send in a check for $49.95, because that's about the cost of the book you just covered in about 5 minutes. But, you know, it's amazing to me, if these prophecies were coming to light and these prophecies were vocalized or written down by the likes of Nostradamus or others, it would be all over the news. You wouldn't be able to, you know, flip on your Twitter, X, Facebook, you couldn't go anywhere on the web. You couldn't go anywhere in the news without seeing something about Nostradamus and one of his quatrains coming true, or a series of quatrains coming together, it seems like. But because this is biblical prophecy, you have a lot of people who live and it's just completely turn a deaf ear and a blind eye. Let's pretend it doesn't exist. Let's pretend this is not taking place. And for the believer that knows the scripture, you have to be getting excited. And I know I sound like a broken record, but the drumbeat is getting louder and more intense by the moment. And for the Christian, there should be absolutely no fear in the midst of this, but absolute awe at God's word coming true before, for us to live in the generation where these things are coming together. And by the way, for 2,000 years, you couldn't have these things coming together and amassed, arrayed against Israel, because guess what? Israel did not exist, folks. But even the revival, the dry bones coming to life, that was predicted, that was foretold, that was prophesied in Scripture, and it happened. That hasn't happened before with any other nation on the face of the planet. Isn't that amazing? But as you look at the parallel text in Matthew and Mark and Luke dealing with these things and Jesus himself talking about it, what sort of things do you see, Dr. Youngblood, Daddy, what do you see that mimics or seems to point to exactly what we're seeing today? Is it the wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation? Is it pestilences? Is it famines? You know, the reason I say that is, folks, I'm encouraging you to go to these texts in the scripture and review them for yourselves and see whether or not it makes sense that what's being said right now and you're hearing on the radio right now makes sense, and it's coming to pass before your very eyes. So can you walk through some of what you see based on the scripture, what looks like it's happening right in front of us?
It's happening right now. It's taking place, not incrementally. It's taking place by leaps and bounds today. Just a few years ago, it was taking place in, how you say, the broad brush strokes. Today, we're seeing the focus on Israel on the top of the news, just about every newsreel, television, radio, et cetera, et cetera. Because what is happening today, you've got Israel that's been in a constant battle since it was reassimilated in 1948. May 15, 1948, Israel became a nation, constituted as a nation. It was the League of Nations, which is now the United Nations, that made determination that Israel needed to have its own homeland. That little postage stamp, Greg, that is called Israel today, is only a little smattering of the land that God gave Israel. When God returned Israel, and you spoke about Ezekiel 37 talks about the valley of dry bones, the dry bones standing up, sinew and muscle and flesh being put on the dry bones. That's a picture of Israel. That's a prophetic text of Israel coming back together. And it's May 15, 1948 when that took place. And since the very moment that Israel became a nation, they've been in a constant, continual battle for survival. And this is just another portion of that trek of survival. In fact, I recently read an article about the number of nations that have come in and tried to control the nation of Israel, that had been in complete control of Israel and trying to make a determination. And today we see America, with just about every president in my lifetime, they wanted to talk about the two-state solution. Divide Jerusalem into a Palestinian nation and a Jewish nation. That'll never happen. In fact, Benjamin Netanyahu just said he's not interested in a two-state solution. In fact, Yasser Arafat, during his reign and the present rulership today of the Palestinians, they have no interest in. They've had an opportunity over a dozen times to have a two-state solution. Bill Clinton had arranged that, et cetera, et cetera. Each time they've rejected it because with the so-called Palestinians, which, by the way, Greg, there's never been a Palestinian ethnic group of people. It's the Islamic jihadists, as I call them. They did not want the land. Israel, God gave Israel the land, and Israel has made the land productive. Israel has made the land a global, if you please, showplace. And as a result of that, there's the push for the crushing of Israel. This is the reason we find the airheads in America and in the streets and the blue cities and the blue states in America, talking about Democrat, socialist, Marxist, Democrat-controlled provinces and areas. We see men marching in the street, waving the flag from the river to the sea. They're saying destroy Israel. But what we see taking place today is Israel with its battle with Hamas, with the Gaza Strip. Gaza is part of Israel. Gaza is owned by Israel. But yet we have the international community now saying that Israel cannot control it. Israel cannot make political control of Gaza, that it's got to go back to the Palestinians. You have then on the northern boundary up around the Golan Heights and further, you find the rebels in Lebanon that's controlled by Iran that's trying to wipe Israel out. You find in the West Bank in the Jordan area where there's a move to wipe Israel out. Israel is circled on all four sides. Out of Yemen, the Houthis are firing missiles from the southern side into Israel, trying to wipe them out. We find today Israel is in the same position it was in when they became a nation in 1948, the Six-Day War, 1967, 1973, 1981, and I could go on and on and on with the times that Israel has seemed as though it's going to be annihilated, eviscerated, and wiped out. But Greg, I've said for many, many, many years, Israel has one of the meanest militaries, I believe, on the face of the globe. And the only way that's possible is by the hand of God. But God's word, Greg, tells us in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day," talking about the last days that we're in today, "will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." Greg, the glory hallelujah text as I find it is the fact that God's promised that any nation that comes against the nation of Israel will be cut into pieces. That's what causes me to have great consternation when I see the former stripper, that's now the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, that's going behind Israel's back trying to negotiate a two-state solution with the global terrorist, the national jihadist, that he tries to negotiate with, and then come to the front door and tell Netanyahu, "This is what you want. We want you to do." I'm prayerful that Benjamin Netanyahu will not bow and will not bend at the global pressure to try to eviscerate Israel by dividing it, that God's word says shall never happen. I'm thankful for God's word because it stands. Greg, my question to you, what do you think is going to be the end result of this skirmish we see taking place today? Will this escalate? Will it calm down and then flare back up later? Or is this going to continue to flare up and move into what we call the war with Russia in Ezekiel 38 and 39?
Well, you have a lot of people declaring that this is the beginning of World War III, and I wholeheartedly agree with the sentiment because the saber rattling has been going on for a long time. Now it's the missiles are flying, and every day we're hearing about another attack, another battle, wars and rumors of wars. I believe we're seeing this work its way up to a climax. And as I see that, you know, and I feel that the Lord's coming quickly, and of course, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I think Gabriel's sitting right there licking his lips, ready to, he's got the trumpet in his hand, he's ready to blow it. Jesus is ready to return, he's preparing to come back. And I would say one thing, one charge to every brother and sister in Christ in this moment, in this hour, is be found faithful. when Jesus returns.
Yes.
That has to be the...
Yes.
And somehow that resonating in my mind has been, finish well. Finish well. That just... Somehow or another, it's not audible, but may as well be. Finish well, because the race is almost over. That finish line is just out before us.
Absolutely. That's a good challenge to our listeners today. Greg, one other question that comes into the equation. We have the Straits of Hormuz and the Red Sea, where shipping now has almost ceased. In fact, recently there was a report that said that most of the shipping now is having to go around the Horn of Africa, which takes weeks and weeks longer. They said that the shipping container, just a container, has gone up 700% as far as the cost for those that are bringing in the shipments. 700%. They say that within about 90 days, we're going to find a mega major increase on the price of all goods because of that. Our men in Iraq have been fired upon. Our ships, warships, and our shipping ships, if you please, that American-owned, have been fired upon by the Houthis coming out of Yemen. And yet Joe Biden is saying nothing, doing nothing, saying that he didn't want to broaden the war. What should America's response be in the face of what we're seeing happening now with this?
In the face of every anti-Semitic personality within the United States, I would say stand with Israel. Stand with Israel. I think eschatologically and analysis of the scripture, at a certain point in time, we turn our backs on Israel. Now, that has already been going on since the Obama administration. We've been sending money to the number one state sponsor of terrorism in the world, Iran, and just about all these roads lead back to Iran. So we truly turned our back on Israel. But for you as believers, those nations that bless Israel, God will bless. Those people that bless Israel, God will bless. And that ought to be our refrain all the way to the end of time. Their eyes will come open, folks. It says in the scripture that 144,000, 12,000 male, virgin, Jewish young men will come to know Christ. And we will have evangelist, Jewish evangelist working through that tribulation. But until their eyes come open, continue to share the truth in love and stand with Israel.
Absolutely. I see an article, Greg, that says, shipping giant halts commerce in the Red Sea dispute. U.S. Navy defense. Those shippers, giant shipping companies, have said we'll not do any more shipping because we're not going to risk our men, our personnel, or our products on the shipments that's coming through. So I'm saddened to see that taking place. But I want our listeners to understand, God is still on the throne. God is still sovereign. God is still in control. So all that we see, Greg, that's taking place in the Middle East does not take God by surprise. All that we see on a global basis does not take God by surprise. And so the rapture of the church could take place at any moment. And then when that takes place, it is Katie barred the door, as though cliche goes, with the Antichrist stepping on the scene. Greg, we've got about 20 seconds. Wrap us up as we finish the broadcast today.
I'd reiterate that drumbeat is getting louder every day. Jesus is donning the robe that says Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's ready to board that horse and head back to the mountain that he left from. I want you folks to be ready when he comes. Let us all be found faithful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg, for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120.